today. Felt bad this morning after Brother David called me because me and Michael Lee was giving him a hard time last Sunday after church. Said, you know, with this hurting you like this, you're going to have to turn it over to some of you preacher boys and let us preach some. And he called me this morning. I was like, wow, should be careful what I say next time. But it's good to be here this morning, and my stomach is getting very knotted up. Woke up this morning, my alarm was still going off from yesterday. I had to set it early to get up yesterday. It went off this morning. Whitney looked at me and she said, why you got the alarm set, baby? I was like, I have no clue. I turned it off, Brother Scott, and just a few minutes later, Jordan started hacking and coughing, and she's been on antibiotics for the last couple of days, and then Brother David called. And right before he called, she said, wow, it's turning out to be a good start for a Sunday. And then Brother David called, and she looked at me, and she said, now we know why it's starting this way. Satan's trying to mess you up and get you started up, messed up. But if you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 19. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I've used it many times. I've preached it. And this morning, I'm going to look at it from a little different spin than I normally do. Normally, I preached it at a funeral just a couple weeks ago for my uncle. And God laid it on my heart this morning, and I got to looking at the word hope and thinking about it. So we got online and started looking up, and on Bible.org, they gave me some words and some encouragement about hope. And I want to take what God laid on my heart, and I want to preach a topical message this morning on hope. What's your definition of hope? Poor Brother Darrell this morning, he was getting ready to teach for Miss Lisa and them in Vacation Bible School, and I called him this morning with the hope that he'd be able to cover Sunday school this morning. So he's like, I got you covered. I'll take care of Sunday school for you. So Brother David called me at the last minute, and then I passed it on down to him, and I think he passed it on down to Robbie to do the prayer meeting in here this morning. So it just flows all downhill around here. So be careful if you answer your phone on Sunday mornings. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 19, the Bible tells us, he says, If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, if you read the passage and you read before it, he's been talking about the resurrection and how some say that Jesus wasn't resurrected and that he's still in the grave. And Paul's putting a little emphasis right here, a little exclamation point in our lives and saying, hey, let me remind you of something. If the only hope that you have is what you see right here before you and not in the hereafter, you're missing it, buddy. You're missing what will help get you up in the morning and keep you going. You're missing something that nobody else can explain or nobody else can understand. If you don't believe that our hope is beyond this life, if it's just in what's right here and right now, we would all be in the loony farm. We would all be so doped up on drugs because depression would be even worse than it already is. We've been married a little over 8 years. I'm going to pick on her a little bit this morning. She'll make me pay for it later. We've been married a little over 8 years, and we had known each other for a few years before we started dating, and we didn't technically, Robbie, start dating till right before we got married. Everybody asked, we're just friends. Well, I made plans and made arrangements to get engaged. I went and talked to her mom and talked to her dad and got permission, and then I got ready and got set, and I like to keep things a mystery sometimes. Most of the time, I'm not good at it, but this time, I kept her wondering. We talked about getting married. We talked about when we were going to get married. And she's like, well, you know, I don't have a ring yet, so you're going to be talking too much there, buddy. Christmas came, and she was expecting the ring on Christmas. So we went to Hopeland Gardens in Aiken, South Carolina. Some of you are shaking your heads. You've heard this story already. Hush, Ashley. Don't tell anybody. Hopeland Gardens is this beautiful botanical gardens in Aiken, South Carolina. And at Christmas, they have 2 or 3 million lights, isn't it? I mean, it's unreal. And they bus people in because there's so limited parking. They bus them in from a local store, and you go in there, and it's just gorgeous. And they're playing Christmas music, and it's just so beautiful and romantic. And I couldn't help myself, Brother Steve. There was this one spot that's roped off, and I had a buddy of mine from Bible college, my roommate, and his girlfriend with us. And you cross over this and go up, and there's a bench up here under a trellis, and it's all lit up, and it's just as pretty as can be. I mean, it's gorgeous. So I look at her and I said, let's go up there. And she goes, they've got it roped off. I said, I don't care, let's go. So we go up there and she sits down and I kneel down in front of her. And she's like, and I look at her and Brother Danny, like a Baptist preacher, I looked at her and said, let's pray. She had the same look most of you have, like, what are you thinking? So I prayed. I mean, I kept her off guard, kept her in suspense. This was right before Christmas. Then Christmas Day, she's expecting it. I hand her a ring, and she's like, woo, and it's a promise ring. She's like, what are you doing to me? And I'm like, you know, I think we need to get married on Valentine's Day. I think you need to step up and do something other than talk about this. On New Year's Day, had everything set up, had everything ready. I got down on my knee and asked her to marry me. I had to ask her twice because she burst into tears because it was the real thing this time. She couldn't answer to begin with, so I had to ask her twice. But all the way up to this moment, and all the way up to this time, from the time I bought the ring in early November, I had this ring, Robbie, had it almost 2 months. Carrying it around in my truck, I made sure not to have it anywhere she could find it. And I had this hope inside my heart. I mean, I believed with everything inside me she would say yes. If you look at her and look at me, you'll understand there's just still some doubt because as beautiful as she is, I mean, I had to catch her on an off day to not look at me and say, okay, I'll take him. I wake up every day and look over and say, thank you, God. Thank you. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut. But I had a hope deep down inside. You see, as I looked at this morning and I started thinking about it and I looked it up, I started looking and saying, okay, what do we see hope as? Today, there are many key terms, there are many phrases we use in the Bible, and we use phrases like faith, hope, love, joy, peace, so forth and so on. But so many times when we read them in the Bible, we use them in very vague concepts and very vague thoughts. We never really understand what they mean or what they could mean. I'm going to read you a little bit of what they said it means. What is hope? Is it a wishy-washy maybe or a kind of sure, unsure optimism? The modern idea of hope is to wish for, to expect, but without certainty of the fulfillment. To desire very much, but with no real assurance of getting your desire. But with no real assurance of getting your desire. You see, the Bible says that we have a hope, but if we look at it the way the world says, we don't really have any certainty to it. He goes on, he says, in Scripture, according to the Hebrew and Greek words translated by the word hope, and according to the biblical usage, I like this, hope is an indication of certainty. Hope in Scripture means a strong and confident expectation. Through an archaic term we use today, through archaic ways and methods, we have taken them apart and we've torn them away from each other, but hope biblically in modern terms means trust and a confident expectation. But we look at it today and we say, I hope I make the red light. I hope there's no traffic on the way so I can get to work on time. I hope this or I hope that, but with no certainty. I hope. But does our hope have any substance to it? Biblically, hope is synonymous with salvation and its many blessings, past, present, and future, as promised in the Scripture. This is true even with what we have already received as believers because they are blessings come under the category of hope. For example, we do not see the justifying work of God, the imparting of Christ's righteousness on our account, nor do we see the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when we're saved. But we trust and hope and believe in what the Word of God says. In summary, this is the way he put it. In summary. Now after the music this morning, Tony, I'm ready to run laps already. But when I start looking at this, if I take off, Scott, you just come on up here and finish preaching or do whatever God lays on your heart, okay? I'm in hope. In summary, hope is the confident expectation, the sure certainty that what God has promised in His Word is true, has occurred, and or will, in accordance with God's Word, come to pass. I don't think some of you got it like I got it. As I read over it this morning, I about knocked her out of the bed. I'm looking at it on my BlackBerry. I found a good use for that BlackBerry. I'm looking at it, and I read that, and I about knocked Whitney out of bed. I said, you got to listen to this. In summary, hope is the confident expectation, the sure certainty that what God has promised in His Word is true, has occurred, and or will, in accordance with God's Word, come to pass. Now, we sit here today with our faces held low as we walk out and we see how all the gloom and doom and everything's going on in this world. But God says we have a hope that's certain, that's sure, and that will hold because His Word is confident, certain, sure, and will hold. It doesn't matter what anybody else says or thinks about God's Word. It's still here. It doesn't matter how hard Hitler and Stalin and all the others tried to do away with it. They couldn't do away with God's Word. Our hope is certain. But it doesn't matter that as much as this. What do you believe? What is your definition of hope? Brother Tony told me I had an hour this morning. I told him I was going to take an hour and a half, so y'all hold on. I see some long faces, but you can hope. Because I'm not long-winded. I can scream and rant and rave all night long. I can jump up and down on the pews. But until you decide what your definition is of hope, it won't do you any good. I want to look at three things, and like I said, it's topical, so I'm going to bounce from Scripture to Scripture. You go with me, write it down. God is already trying to work, and Satan's messing with the screens. Poor Brother Randy's up there trying his best to get it all worked out. God love him. He's trying his best to help me. But what's your definition today? When you think of the word hope, what comes in your mind? First thing I want to look at about hope, and we'll find it in Romans 8:24. And this one I'm going to give to you, and I want you to understand up front, there's a question mark behind this first phrase. So when you hear it, I want you to think about it and question it. The first one in Romans 8:24 and 25, he says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." The world likes to hope for things they can see. So my first question this morning, and my first thing this morning, is passiveness of hope. The world has passiveness of hope. We see it, but we still, you know, we know they're passive about their thoughts on hope. They take a passive approach and they say, well, maybe it's this or it could be this. And they look at it very loosely and they say, maybe or maybe not. Maybe hope gives me something to look forward to, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe I'll get the promotion at work. Maybe I'll get the new car. Maybe I'll make good grades in school. Maybe I'll get a summer job this year. Maybe. They look at it very passively and they say, well, in Romans he says, we're not hoping for something we've seen. That's not hope. That's not hope. It's not hope for me to tell Whitney I love her because she sees it in my actions. She should anyway, I hope. We hope for things we haven't seen. We hope, and they hope passively. But do you and I hope passively, or do we take God's word as sure, certain, concrete? Do we have a passiveness about our hope today? In the Bible, hope is never a passive thing. It is dynamic, directive, and life-sustaining. This is everywhere obvious as we read the Bible. Take a concordance, look up every reference of the word hope, and you'll find reference after reference after reference after reference pointing out the active results of hope in the lives of those who truly have a biblical hope and live and live accordingly. Listen to this. In other words, a biblical hope is not an escape from reality or from problems. It doesn't leave us idle, drifting and just rocking from a front porch. If our hope is biblical and based on God's promises, it will put us in gear. Is your hope passive today? Is my hope passive? I hope that when my little boy gets old enough to understand that he will get saved. I hope that my little girl will be saved. Now, I can take the passive approach about it and never talk to him about Jesus, never talk to him about the Bible, and just hope and pray that he figures it out. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to take a dynamic, active approach to our hope and to sit down and talk with him about the Bible. Me and Whitney, time after time, we tell him about Jesus. God laid something on her heart a long time ago that has changed my thinking about a lot of different things. But from the earliest age, when we started trying to work with him and teach him and train him, we started trying to teach him what's right and what's wrong. And that's mom and daddy's job, is to keep him safe and to teach him right and wrong. Because when he gets older, his understanding of a right and wrong will also lead him to the understanding of knowing why Jesus died for him. I can take a passive approach at work and not talk about God or anything else about the church or about the Bible to the people around me, and they'll never know. But God says, I want you to take a dynamic, active approach with your hope and share it with them. Because they don't have hope. If they're lost and they've never been saved, they have no reason for hope. But you and I as Christians, we can't take that passive approach. Is our definition about hope passive? We like, you know, I know God's going to take me to heaven. I know I'm saved, but I'm not going to, that's as far as I can go with it. Can we be passive about it and be right? What's your definition of hope today? Is it a passive thing? Is it something that says, you know, maybe or maybe not? I you know, maybe this is what God wants. I hope. Our hope is sure, confident, and concrete. It's not passive. The second thing that we find about hope is found in John, 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. God's word says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse number 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, ye shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse number 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Our hope is not passive. The second thing, our hope is permanent. It's not something that's here today and tomorrow we won't have it. It's not something that you had the day you got saved and now it's done. Our hope is permanent. He says, behold, beloved, now are you the sons of God. Now are you the sons of God. It's permanent. You see, outside of here, their hope changes from one moment to the next. If you're not saved, your hope changes constantly because you have no permanent foundation for it. You have nothing to stand upon. Your hope can be this way with this minute and this way this minute, but he's reminding us today that our hope is permanent. It's permanent. He said, now are we the sons of God. Now, today, right now, this very moment, we are the sons of God. It's not a maybe, might, hope so, could be, possibly, maybe tomorrow. Lamentations tells us that his mercies are new each and every single day. And our hope is not passive. And our hope is permanent. It's something that's fixed. It's not something we have to wonder about. We can get up every day with this permanent hope that we are the Son of God. We don't have to sit back and wonder, did I sin last night before I went to bed and lose my salvation? Did I make him mad and he erased my name? I don't know if you remember this or not, but your name's signed in the blood of his own son. And what can wash it away? Nothing. It's permanent. You see, we get down and out on ourselves if something doesn't go right. And we lose faith. We were up there in the video stand yesterday. Andy and Sarah's doing their wedding, and I'm running the video for the wedding. And push play, simple enough. Tim Painter's doing the sound, so he's taking care of that part. So, Matt, all I've got to do is push play. I've got it simple. I got it made. I push play, and it starts, and it goes about the first minute into it, and it freezes. And I'm hitting panic mode because, I mean, it's a wedding. You know, it's not one of those you can do a do-over. Hey, let's start this all over. Let's go back. It's a wedding. The bridesmaids are already coming down the front. The bride's standing at the door. She's ready to go. Brother Brandon bailed me out. We took the screen off where they couldn't see it, and Brandon started playing the music again, and the bride was okay. We got her calmed down. But I lost my hope. My hope was to make everything go smooth, the video be just right, and it just be, I mean, just right on for her. My hope was for everything just to be just as cool as can be and to go right into the service and everything to be just beautiful for them. And I lost my hope. I'll be honest with you. I got upset. I got frustrated. I got aggravated because I told her it was going to be okay. And then I had to calm down and realize that it's still okay. All she cares about is getting married. And most of the time, they don't have a clue what goes on in the rest of the service because they're just thinking about saying, I do. Let's get married. I do. We took the video out and found one fingerprint on the bottom of it. Cleaned the fingerprint off. When they went to do the unity candle, we played it again. Brandon sang and played, and the video was going on, and everything went smooth. My hope does not depend on whether I push the right button or not. My hope does not depend on whether I get the next job or next promotion or whether I get this or whether I get that. My hope is permanent because in September of 1982 in a little backwoods country church, you've heard it before, you'll hear it again, and you probably will as long as I'm here. I got saved as a 6-year-old little boy because God saw fit to come into a little country church and to save my wretched soul. And at that very moment, that very day, I became his, and he signed my name in the Lamb's Book of Life with his own son's blood, and from that point on, it is permanent. Nothing in this world can take me out of it. Nothing can wipe me away. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm his. My hope is permanent. It doesn't matter on what person cuts me off on the highway. It doesn't matter if I have a flat this evening, if I run out of gas. My hope's still there. I don't know if you're getting the definition, but I'm enjoying myself, and I hope you are too, because I like it. My hope's not passive. My hope has feet to it. My hope has direction. And my hope is also permanent. But the second thing, and the one I want to look at and drive home for the last few minutes, and I promise you'll get out before 12. I was told that this morning by somebody. You'll be done by 12 or I'm going to get up. God love you. Number 3, found in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13. My hope's not passive. My hope is permanent. But the third thing about hope we want to look at, found in verses 13 through 16. I love to hear those pages turn. I just hope it's not a magazine. Verse number 13, he says, he's been talking about the heroes of the faith, and he said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Hold on to that word. Verse number 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Verse number 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Look at the very last of verse number 13. And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And pilgrims. My hope's not passive. My hope's permanent. But my hope's on a pilgrimage. My hope's on a pilgrimage. This isn't my permanent home. I'm just a stranger passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You see, hope, when you look at the definition, hope isn't something that you can just think about and say, okay, I'm done with it. Hope is something that takes action. Hope is something that gives you something to ground you and to keep you getting up and going when you don't feel like you can. And you don't think you want to get up and go another step. But it also reminds you that you're on a journey. I am on my way to that fair city. He is building me a mansion, not a hole in the wall. He's building me a mansion. I'm on a pilgrimage with my journey. With my journey and my hope, it's taken me somewhere. My journey, my hope has taken me many miles since the day I got saved. God's given me the opportunity to preach in several churches back in Alabama, some in South Carolina, some in Georgia, and here. God's put many miles, but this ain't my final stop. This ain't it for me. And this ain't it for you. You're on a journey. You're on a pilgrimage. Oh, you may get up tomorrow morning and you may feel awful. God, I hope nobody has the flu. If they do, I'm going to feel bad. You may get up tomorrow and just feel like you've been beat to death and can't move. But remember, your journey doesn't stop there. Your journey won't stop this evening when you get home and you start looking at your bills that you've got to pay this week. No, sir. My journey continues on. I am on a pilgrimage. And God Himself is preparing a place just for me. One more reference. One more scripture. Philippians 1, verses 20 through 24. You can turn if you want to. Philippians 1, verses number 20 through 24. I am on a pilgrimage with my hope, and I am so thankful that I've got a place I'm heading to. Doesn't matter what my home looks like here. Doesn't matter where I go here. Doesn't matter where He takes me. He has something special waiting for me. Verse number 20 of Philippians chapter 1. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, and that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul said, I recognize I'm on a journey. My journey's taking me to home to be with heaven, be with Jesus in heaven. And he said, that's where I want to be. That's far better, and that's where I want to go. He said, but if God, if this is where you're going to lead me, it's better for you. He was talking to the ones around him, the church at Philippi. He said, if I stay here, it's better for you. You're on a pilgrimage each and every day. And if God hasn't taken you home to be with him in heaven, he has a reason that you're still here. You may see gloom and despair outside, but he says your pilgrimage is one day, one day, one day. Keep going. Keep looking. Keep moving on for me, because if you're still here, I've got a reason for that. If you're still here, there's somebody else that you need to tell about. If you're still here, there's somebody else that needs to hear your witness. If you're still here, there's a reason for this. It's because I've got a hope. I've got a hope that I need to share with somebody else. I've got a hope that I need to hand off to somebody else and keep going. I've got a hope that they need. And if I don't do it, who will? I've got a hope. I'm so thankful I've got a hope, because you know me. Nathan knows me. He's been around me a little bit. I can't give him anything that's going to help him tomorrow on my own. But I can take that hope that Jesus has placed inside of me. I can stand up with the College of Career on Wednesday night and I can pass that hope on to them. And maybe somebody will get something that will help them tomorrow. And they'll be able to get up and say, you know, I can keep going because God's given me something to stand on. I've got a hope that's not passive. It's not just laid to the side and maybe I'll be something one day, or maybe I'll tell somebody one day. Maybe it has some substance to it. It has strength. It has definition. It has a sureness about it. I have a hope that's permanent. I am a son of God, and I can stand and boldly proclaim His word and love every minute of it because I'm His. But it's also taken me on a journey somewhere. The end result is going to be with Him in glory, but between here and there, my opportunity is to share that hope with everyone around me. Some long faces this morning when you walked in. Some hearts that are breaking. Some homes that are hurting. Some lives that are tore up. And He says, you've got a hope that you can keep standing on. I've got a hope that maybe our pastor will be back next Sunday. And you won't have to listen to me 2 weeks in a row. Maybe next week you'll get to hear Brother Kyle instead. And that'll be a blessing. You won't have to put up with me that much. But what's your hope? What's your definition of hope? What are you going to hold on to? You going to hold on to something that's passive, that has no substance, that just flutters by and can go and change with every wind and with all the tide? Is your hope going to be permanent? Are you going to rest in the fact that it is permanent, straight from God Himself? Are you going to take that hope and put legs to it and put it on a journey, on a pilgrimage? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Tony comes up, and Brother Brandon. My hope. What's your hope today?